Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. We always like to discuss important tech issues with you and with our tech guru, Jesse Feiler. Jesse is a developer, consultant, and author specializing in Apple technologies. He's the creator of Minutes Machine for iPad, the meeting management app, and Saranac River Trail app, a guide to the trail that includes location-based updates as well as social media tools. Jesse joins us this morning to talk about the author technology issues of publishing. Some formats, like 200-page and shorter books, are becoming more feasible today than they were years ago. There are also more and more self-published books of all lengths around. And Jesse joins us to talk about this subject this morning. And it's a great pleasure to welcome him back to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. Good to be here.
Very nice to have you here. So I'm a little mixed on this subject, so I want to be as delicate as I possibly can.
Oh, dear.
Does that
mean that you expect me to be delicate? Delicate
no.
is not one of the things that
no,
I do.
No, I want you to be Jesse. I don't want to offend anyone. So what brought you to this topic in the sense of because there's two things here, right? Is that there is the technology that we have to be able to put something into book form, right?
Right.
And that is what you're going to talk about. And then my question to you is going to be a more artistic question, which is, okay, but should it be put in book form?
That question, should it, whatever it is, be put in book form?
Yes.
Has nothing to do with technology.
Right. And that was what I said. It was delicate because, you know, as a host of a radio show and as a host of a show that is dedicated to books, we get a lot of self-published books. A lot of them are great. A lot of them are not. And so that's where I'm coming from.
Okay. Now, I'm going to resist because I'm going to briefly take your lead in the area of being delicate.
Yes.
I'm going to, for a few seconds, pick up on what you said about self-published books, some of them being great,
yes,
some of them being awful. I believe that was the technical term you used.
Well, I believe I said some are great and some are not.
Okay.
Yes.
And that that situation applies to self-published books. Absolutely. And it also happens to apply to books published by anyone.
Absolutely. I agree with you, except that there is an editing process, and there is also a, and I think there are some wonderful independent publishers, they still are mm-hmm. out there, and university publishers certainly, who have editors and who have and they're going to put the book through its process to allow it to form and to grow. That's all.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
I totally agree with that. And
yes.
In fact, one of the points that I make when, and I put some links on the website because this is a question I get asked all the time, which is, how do people self-publish?
Yes.
And one of the things that I always say is that, and I'm looking, actually, I don't have a link for this deliberately, but I have here something you can find if you do a search on the internet using your favorite search engine, Bing,
yes.
Google, Yahoo, whatever. Complete ebook self-publishing package, $299. Everything you need, ebook conversion, promotion, and distribution for just $299. So it's not expensive.
So add content, stir, and enjoy.
Add content, but what you just brought up, add content and editing and promotion, stir and enjoy. So the $299 is not the end of the discussion. I had someone who should have known better, in my opinion, say to me,
delicate.
I didn't mention the name.
Yes.
This person said to me, it's outrageous, the cost of ebooks.
Individually? To buy an ebook?
To buy an ebook.
For $14, $15 or whatever it is.
And libraries pay even more for various reasons that we'll
yes.
get into. it's outrageous, the cost of ebooks, because it costs, and they had seen one of these articles that you can find on the web, that you can convert a book that's in a manuscript form to the three major ebook formats, which are for iBooks,
yes,
for Kindle, and for Nook and other EPUB versions. So there are three major formats that are used. But this is a ballpark estimate of $475 to convert a manuscript to all three formats. And they say it's outrageous that it costs $475 to produce an ebook, and they're charging individuals this amount and libraries even more. It's absolutely outrageous when it costs $475. And I put on my author hat, which is quite becoming, and I said $475 is for the conversion of the manuscript. Should the author be paid anything? Should there be editing?
Yes.
Should there be marketing? And when you add that, you get, sometimes you get pushback and saying, well, you know, authors should do it for love and so forth. That's another discussion.
Yes.
But to get back to your issue of all of the things that go into publishing a book are the content, which is an author working usually with editors, then the edited content, which is things getting rid of the misspellings and things like that. And spell check isn't sufficient for that.
No, you need more than that.
And you need marketing. You need someone who can send people, say, oh, marketing is, you know, a good book will sell itself. A good nothing will sell itself. People have to know about it. They have to be able to discover it.
Now, you, as you mentioned, you're a published author. So you, and not only are you a published author, but you are a published author with a major publisher who also is part of a series. You have several different, how many, do you have one publisher or several publishers?
I work with, at this point, I work with three.
Okay. So, and they have their series that you go in and fill in that, and these are technical books that go into the stores. But and not to hijack the conversation, but if you were to go and say, I just want to self-publish and go an ebook route, would that work for you as well as an author?
Yes.
It would. Okay.
Because, and I'm not going to mention the title.
Yes.
But there is a book I have been trying to write for 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And no publisher will touch it. And there's a very good reason why no one will touch it. No, not that.
Okay, all right.
If I want to write a book about a new Apple technology,
yes,
which is the area where I sort of focus,
yes,
I can, unless someone's there ahead of me, I can usually find a publisher, or my agent can find a publisher to do it, and we know who it's going to be. We know my agent periodically sends out a list saying these are the books that publishers want, and in this very small area of technical publishing. So I know what I can write about and get a contract signed and publish it. What I cannot do is can I tell what the topic is?
Sure.
I cannot get any interest in a book on using technology in nonprofits. First of all, the word nonprofit in a title is considered death.
Yes.
So that sort of knocks out a whole bunch of...
Corporations don't like the word nonprofit.
The phrase for-profit is not bad.
Yeah.
But handling technology in the nonprofit world is difficult. It's difficult to do, difficult to write about. Also, in the nonprofit world, we tend to have a lot of fragmentation of different types of nonprofits. So there are organizations and trade associations, for example, for libraries, for museums, for hospitals, for this, that, and the other. And there is an awful lot of writing in the nonprofit area specifically for individual types of organizations. Mm. But a general thing is, trust me, very hard to do. And so I decided to quit bitching and moaning. And assuming that I finish everything else I'm supposed to do, it should be out in the spring. And that's going to be self-published. And unlike a few years ago, that would not be a kiss of death.
So
we hope.
Now, okay, but you wouldn't give up the day job, as it were. I mean, you wouldn't give up the Four Dummies series or something that has a legitimacy to it that is... let me give you an example. So if I'm a library and I'm looking to buy a book on, and let me just use this as an example, but I'm looking to buy a book on iPad technology, and I have it for, and I can get this either through the Four Dummies series or whatever other series there are out by major publishers, or I can get something from that is self-published. Normally, being on many book buying committees for libraries, we would go with the one that has the reputation.
Absolutely. You go with the reputation or...
And the author, I should mention. I mean, if you're self-publishing and you're... I mean, you have a name, you have a brand, you have, people know you in that field. So if you went out and you say, well, okay, well, Jesse has a book on this subject, well, sure, that may win.
But probably not. Because if it's part of a series, that's what the series has, or the author is known. Or the other thing that is very, you brought up library, that's very important, a positive review in Library Journal.
Right.
Is dynamite.
Kirkus, Library Journal, any of those, right.
Because that's what librarians are looking at.
Right.
But I'll give you a very concrete example without the author's name. I was at a workshop for the Authors Guild in New York City about the new publishing world. And an author who has she's the best-selling author of young adult fiction. And I may have this backwards. It doesn't matter. Of young adult fiction with major publishing houses, makes a lot of money, sells a lot of books. And she wanted to do, I think, an adult fiction book. And she talked very much like me with nonprofits. She talked with the publisher she worked with. And major, I think she works with two publishers.
Yeah.
Big, big name in young adult fiction. And she talked to them and they said, that's really not for us. But do you have another young adult book?
Right.
And one of the publishers, she said at this workshop, said to her, have you considered self-publishing? A major publishing house said to one of their top authors in category X, young adult, said, this is not for us. We want your next book in the category that has made so much money for us, but go ahead and do it on your own. That wouldn't have happened a few years ago. It would have been a kiss of death.
And I assume that's where social media comes in, of getting the promotion out, which brings me to the question brought to me, which I think is really interesting, which is, well, what about the other people who are part of that publishing industry? So you have your editors, you have your designers, you have your marketers. So if you go out on your own, where do they fit into the process?
Well, I can tell you where one person fits into that process, because publishing is changing a lot, in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah.
because we don't carry around those stones with the carved writing on them. But publishers are cutting back, and they're bringing a lot of jobs that were in-house out. They're outsourcing them.
Right.
And a few months ago, I was working on a book, last year, in fact, with one of the best editors I've ever worked with. I think I'd worked with him briefly a few years ago on something else. He was filling in for someone else. But he was a fantastic editor. He got what I was trying to do, didn't try to rewrite the book. Sometimes you get that. Trust me, any author you talk to will be glad to tell you these horror stories.
Right.
Terrific editor. And he said that the publisher had approached him, and I don't know if there was choice involved, but they said they wanted to continue working with him, but as a freelancer. So he was on his own. So with all the things that come with freelancing, like paying your own health insurance, you know, all of that stuff. And this happened right about the time that I was starting to think about this other book. And because he said to me he was going into the freelance world, I said, by the way, I'm working on this book. When it comes time, would you be interested in doing the edit on it? I couldn't have said that to him when he was an employee of a publisher.
Right. They wouldn't allow that.
I couldn't. True. I don't know if they – it would just be very awkward.
Yeah.
But he was no longer an employee. And I knew he was a fantastic editor. I knew because we had had discussions. I don't think I ever spoke to him, but over email. He knew what I was talking about. So I said, you know, can I pencil you in to do the edit on this book? So that's one of the ways in which you can handle this. The important thing that everyone has to understand is that self-editing is almost impossible because you simply can't see your mistakes. You need another pair of eyes to look at it.
Right.
So self-editing, I think everyone will agree, is impossible. And then beyond that, you do need an editor, and I think you need, if you can find someone who has edited a book before, that's fantastic. No, you're laughing.
I know exactly what you mean.
You know, trust me, someone who's been through that, and unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you're looking at that, as the publishing industry is restructuring, you can find good editors who are freelancing now. And you can find them by asking around. And just continuing the idea of restructuring, if I can jump back a little bit.
Yes.
I know we usually go forward, but I'm jumping back. We mentioned social media. Part of the story about this young adult author was in that same conversation at the workshop, she was saying some of the issues about that you need an editor and so forth, and you as an author have to go out and promote your self-published books using things like social media. That's something you have to do. But someone added from the audience, the publishers, the major houses, are telling us that we have to do that with our books that are being published by the major publishers as well. And we know that.
Because, to your point, publicity also is being freelanced and brought out and is often on the shoulders not of the publishing house, but of the individual author.
Right. And as you start pushing more and more onto the author, then authors do sometimes start to say it makes self-publishing more attractive.
Right. What am I getting paid for here? Because I'm putting out a lot of resources to get my book edited, to get my book marketed. I wrote the thing, and then I hope people will buy it. But if they don't, this is a large chunk of cash that I'm putting out.
But and effort. But
yes,
we must also, this delicate thing is contagious.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. And just about delicacy, because God knows, I mean, because if you go to any writing course, if you go to any college, any program, anything, they'll tell you writers should write. And then anyone should write. And to take away the power of creativity, to take away art, to take away that from anyone, I think is unfair. So that's why I'm delicate about it, because I think that the idea of someone taking a story that is very personal and very special to them, whatever that may be, and to create a book and to put it out into the world so they can have it, I think that's wonderful. I really do. And that's where my hesitation comes. The next step then for those of us who are the gatekeepers of what gets on the air or not, or the gatekeepers of the bookstores of what gets on the shelves or not, or at the library. And then it becomes a real issue because you don't have the Simon & Schuster fall list of 27 titles. You have thousands and thousands of books that are coming to you that are self-published, and it's okay. Where do I draw the line?
Well, I would disagree with one thing that you said.
Yes, sir.
You said thousands and thousands.
Yeah.
If you look at ebooks that are being published, it's not thousands. It's not tens of thousands. It's hundreds of thousands.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we have made this so accessible.
Right, and I just mean of what comes through my door, but in comparison to what you get from a traditional publisher, it's difficult because also you have this problem, which is if I'm a magazine, let's take radio out of it. If I'm a magazine, if I'm Yankee Magazine, and so that's a universal publication, but it mostly appeals to people in the Northeast, right? So if you're a writer and you send this from Minnesota to Yankee Magazine, well, are they going to write about it because they're concerned that the person who has the magazine won't be able to get it and their distribution? Well, if it's an ebook, of course they can get it.
Of course they can.
Anybody can get it.
But I think in terms of the importance to this publishing ecosystem, I think one of the components that we've just skipped over a few times, we've been talking about publishers and we're thinking about the publishers, you know, that used to be in Midtown and are now in Soho or wherever. but the small publishers.
And they're all moving in with each other.
Yeah. The regional publishers I think, a bigger role to play because they're – sometimes they can take risks. Sometimes they are looking for – they're not looking always for – I'm trying to think how to say this. When a publisher decides to publish a book and even if it's a self-publisher, you have to look at how many copies you expect to sell, you know, the ballpark estimate. And when someone is looking at that, looking at thousands of copies, or even hundreds of copies, that's a very different environment from hundreds of thousands. And so small publishers have the ability to work with new authors and, you know, publish things that a large publishing house couldn't even look at because the scale is different.
And there have been wonderful success stories where small publishers have published the Pulitzer Prize winners and have published books that get great notice and then eventually are – well, and then those people leave those houses and go to big houses and they make their money. But
it's a success if the book gets out – to people who read it, who appreciate it. They don't even have to read the whole thing. I'm not kidding. I mean, cookbooks are a great example.
No, that's true.
You know,
I was thinking of a novel.
A cookbook that has one, I think it's out of print, so I can mention the title.
Yeah.
Maida Heater's Book of Great Desserts. It has a red cover.
Yes.
It has one recipe.
I own that book.
The Queen Mother's cake.
Yeah.
That's it. That is it. I don't care what else you think that book has. That book is worth it.
Just
for
the
Queen Mother's cake.
Yeah.
That's it. You know. So if a book gets to people, you know, like the Queen Mother.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, it doesn't have to be a major commercial success. It's a success on whatever terms the book sets up for itself, and that's between the author and the publisher, who may be the same person.
Okay, I'm woefully out of time
here.
No. I brought you in different places. But one of the other things that you talk about, and I just in 30 seconds, is this whole idea of paying per page.
Yes.
I mean, and then that's, you know, so then it's regulated. You decide you can be stingy if you're paying per page, right?
Well, this has to do with ebooks.
Yes.
And it's not actually per page. It's when you read something like 10% of the book, the cash register rings and the author gets paid a royalty.
Gotcha. So it goes to, you can get that sample, but then if you go beyond that, you pay a little bit more.
Right. But it's in a page count, so the sample might be this page and that page and the other page.
But can I just get the recipe for the cake?
I think it's on the internet. Legally somewhere.
Jesse Feiler provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. His website is northcountryconsulting.com. Jesse, it's always a great pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much.
Good to be here.
Thank you.